Sentire Media.
Ciao a tutti and welcome to Venice Talks, a podcast series dedicated to Venice in Italy. I'm your host, Monica Cesarato, a Venetian food and travel blogger. Join me as I share my insider knowledge to help you explore Venice at 360 degrees. In this weekly podcast, we'll dive into the heart of the city, uncovering hidden stories and connecting with the people who make Venice unique. The artisans, the writers, the fashion designers, the bloggers, the journalists, and more. Let's break free from cliché and discover the true essence of Venice, not just the monuments, but the vibrant people, the Venetians. Experience Venice the right sustainable way. You can find me on my blog at www.monicacesarato.com and across all social media platforms. Enjoy the episode and let's journey through Venice together. Welcome back to Venice Talks, Season 2, Episode number 8. Hi everybody and welcome back to Venice Talks. Today my special guest comes from a long tradition of mask making, is Tobia Dall'Osso from Tragicomica. Ciao Tobia, how are you?
Hello, hi, ciao Monica. It's all good. Yes, good, I'm here. from the shop.
Hi everyone. You're in the shop, but you don't see the sun that finally has come out after all these days.
Yeah, indeed. Just before from the window.
Oh, just a little
now
bit.
I'm in a little cave.
I know. I mean, your shop is fantastic. Well, first of all, let's explain to everybody what is Tragicomica and when was Tragicomica born?
So, yes, Tragicomica Workshop is one of the very oldest mask making workshop still in operation in Venice. It was born here in the heart of the island of Venice around 1978, and it was founded by my father, Gualtiero Dall'Osso.
You are in a beautiful location because you're literally opposite the Goldoni home, the Goldoni house, and most of people, I hope the people that are listening to us realize who Carlo Goldoni was, but you are in the heart of Venice. Have you always been in that location?
No. Well, for me, yes, because it's here since I was born.
Ah, okay.
But before it was in different, it was closer to Rialto, more or less, yes.
Okay, but yeah. Now you've got that beautiful location that I think in a way is also so meaningful, isn't it? Because, Carlo Goldoni and masks and theater and,
Yeah, I was about to say it's not just beautiful and central, but it's, as you said, meaningful. Some people could say it's a bit a dichotomy because actually Goldoni, he was the one who abolished masks from his plays with his theatrical reform.
Okay.
But actually, there's more things that we have in common rather than separate us. Because Goldoni, I think he had a very modern conception of the mask.
Uh-huh.
So yes, it's true that he took off the instrument of them of the like the actual material mask from his plays, but he wanted his actors to personify mm-hmm. the characters in a much deeper way,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's his putting a mask through your gestures, putting a mask through your costume, putting a mask through the way of talking, of speaking, of acting. So
mm-hmm.
it's a deeper way to conceive the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was very advanced on that.
Mm-hmm. So back to when you were born, not you, but Tragicomica, of course.
And this I can take a bit the words of my father. You have to. Many people think that the tradition of masks is very ancient and it has always been like you see now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very far from reality.
Mm-hmm.
The tradition is indeed very, very ancient. But you have to imagine that for 200 years after the came of Napoleon in 1797
Seven?
In Venice, masks were completely abolished.
Mm-hmm.
He forbade the use of the use of masks. He forbade the celebration of carnival. And so for 200 years, there was no more carnival. There were no more masks in Venice. It was only at the very end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s of the last century, when masks and carnival started to be rediscovered again. And my father was part of that process. So it was really, he started doing this, let's say, job. It's much more than a job, I would
Of
say.
course. Well, it's an art.
Really in the moment in which everything was born in again. So it was very vibrant. There was the magnificent Maurizio Scaparro, who was the one, is a a world famous choreographer and director, who started through the Biennale, taking the tradition of carnival again. There were some historians like Professor Danilo Reato, were trying to look back at the sources of what carnival was, mostly in the 18th century. And then there were some young students, maybe some of them attending the Academy of Fine Arts, like my father indeed, who was a student also by of Emilio Vedova, and also other young people, artisans, like artisans maybe working with wood or with gold leaf or with other material, that they got together. It was a bit of a commune in which everyone was bringing a bit of his or her knowledge or savoir-faire or skills, let's say. And together with the historian and the choreographer, and like it was a mixture of knowledges coming together and starting to try to do it was a trial process. You see, you try, you got wrong, and so you tried again, and slowly it started to create this world of masks again. The mask is a combination of sculpture and painting, so it was perfect for someone having an artistic education or background. So it was really the perfect combination of these two kind of arts.
So, why are, I mean, obviously, being a Venetian, I know why masks are so important from Venice. But let's go back. Why, people doesn't, everybody always asks me, why do you have so many mask shops? Why are masks everywhere in Venice? Apart from the rebirth of Carnival in the last 30, 40 years, why are masks so important for the city of Venice, for the Republic of Serenissima?
Yes, it's a good question. Also because masks and carnival, actually they're not only from Venice, right? So why here they are so popular? Because you have to imagine then in the 18th century, which was like the golden age for carnival, not for the political and economic point of view of the Republic of Venice, but culturally and from this festivity point of view, it was the golden age, let's say.
Is
And
the one that in the imagine in the collective imaginary is the idea that people have of carnival,
yes,
Casanova and so on.
and because when the Republic was really at its collapse, they wanted to show off all of the wealth and power of the past. So it was the period in which they really showed off the most, probably. And in that period, carnival used to last 6 months scattered throughout the year.
I
It's an
know.
incredible amount of time with no other comparison in any city in Europe celebrating carnival at that time.
And no wonder eventually Venice fell. If we were partying 6 months a year, no time to fight or something, against the invaders.
Well, of course, it was not 6 months of continuous party,
But
even
still.
because Carnival, it was not just party, it was a way of living for Venetians. And I think this is the reason why masks got so popular here and why they're still rooted in the identity of the city, which is not just put the mask and go to a party. It was like a garment. It was like ordinary tool in the everyday life of Venetians. They used to say that when a foreigner came to the city, one of the first things that they had to do is like go to a mask shop and get a larva mask to get a mask.
Yeah, because they wear different kind of masks according to the need, were they? Because they had, as you were saying, there was a moretta, there were all different kinds, were they?
Yes, even though they were much less than we see now,
Of
it
course.
was much simpler. Because the idea was not to dress up as something as we do now. I dress up as Spider-Man, as Hulk, as Arlequin, as but it was to not dress up, let's say, to be in incognito, to wear a mask, to lose your identity, lose your status, lose your gender, lose your wealth, and be the same in a city. Sometimes many people come from, even if you come from a different city, you're used to different spaces. You have large boulevards and you have cars where you cannot bump into each other. But in Venice, you open your window and you have your neighbors maybe 1 meter away from you and you can see inside his house. Sometimes I think it was getting too much. And so people
Yeah, of
had the
course.
necessity. Yes. People had the need to have a private sphere, to have the freedom to
Of course.
express their desires, their true nature, let's say. And in order to do so, they had to be in incognito.
Of
So the
course.
Bauta mask that we call Bauta, it should be called larva or face. It was a mask that everyone used. So men, women, rich, poor, servants, merchants,
Because
priests.
that made it possible to be all of the same, so there was no social classes. Because Venice was a city that, yes, it was a city of merchant, but there was a social class system. So in that way, it didn't matter who you were. You can mix with the classes as well.
Indeed. So you couldn't tell if he was a noble, if he was a woman, if he was a man under that mask. People used to greet each other if they bump into each other. Hello, Miss Mask, or hello, Mr. Mask, or just hello, Mask. And that's everything you needed to know. Also, you have to imagine Venice was a very, I mean, for what it was possible for the time, but it was quite a libertarian city in
Of
Europe.
course, of course.
So this one led to any kind of, transgression as well. We have also many sources of love affairs going on in the monasteries
Yeah,
or
pa pa parties that took a little bit too far.
indeed.
Let's say something that nowadays, if it'll end up on TV, will cause a big scandal, let's say.
Yeah, let's put it that way to use a euphemism. Yeah.
So we had the Bauta. You had also the Moretta, wasn't it? Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Is it the one that the women had to wear by holding it in their mouth or something? I remember there was a
Yeah,
mask.
it's correct.
It is a
This
Moretta,
one.
was it?
It is. It's a pity that we cannot show to the people listening. But yes, whereas the Bauta was worn by anyone, the Moretta was worn. It's a female mask, let's say. There are two theories. One that it was worn by young servants of the noble family so that they could go, for example, at the Rialto market, which was for sure bustling with life and merchants coming from all over the world. And here, the gossip, not just the gossip in a superficial way, but also if something political was
Yeah, of course.
happening, that all kind of gossip, and go back to their families they were working for, take off the mask and spill out all the
Ah,
tea, let's say,
of
without
course.
revealing the secrets of
Of
the
course.
families they were working for.
Nice one.
Another theory is that it could have been invented by an old noble lady. for younger noble ladies. Because yeah, as we said, many events of carnival were probably not very suitable for the good reputation of young ladies of noble families. But in that
Okay.
way, you know, they could attend these events,
But just shut up.
enjoy,
Yeah, and
see,
shut up.
but not really,
Mingle,
how
as
do you
they
say,
say. Mingle.
mingle, yes, and reveal their true identity and
Gross.
the name of the family they belong to.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure it was not the most feminist mask, but let's say maybe for the times, at least they had the possibility to attend these events, but
Very
we
interesting.
developed a bit from that.
So, Tobias, coming to this today, to today's masks, but also with a look at the back, at the past. What kind of material do you use, and what kind of materials did they use in the past that maybe you don't use anymore?
So Venetian masks traditionally are in paper mache, and we still
Is
do
there a
them.
reason why? Is it because of the
A
light?
reason. I think it was much cheaper than leather,
Okay.
and easier to use, even because I was about to say in the past, yes, it was paper mache, but it was not as precise and clear as the process we follow nowadays. So
Okay.
they could mix paper, plaster, fabrics. It was
Okay.
probably a bit less refined than
Okay.
nowadays. Whereas now we follow quite a methodic and thorough process with different kind of papers, different kind of glues. We add gauze. So it makes it more
Wearable.
like more stronger and more resist
And lighter
enduring.
as well, maybe.
Pardon?
Lighter as well to wear.
Lighter, I don't know, because probably leather ones are lighter.
Oh,
But
okay.
another good thing for paper mache is that you can be much more creative with colors and designs.
Okay. Yeah, because
Whereas leather,
you
yes,
can
you can
mold
give a
it
bit the shade.
exactly. With paper mache, you can literally mold it in anything you want.
Anything, yeah, almost
Let's
anything
say,
you want.
nearly.
And also you can paint them much more freely with much more decoratively, whereas
Of course.
leather, they're usually quite simple, which are super beautiful. They're very used by actors if they have to wear them for a long time.
Okay. Because
But
it
for
lets you.
example, I was very we were very proud when there is this teacher of Commedia dell'arte. He's from the United States. And apparently, he bought some masks from us more than 20 years ago.
Okay.
And he's a teacher, so he makes his students use the mask all the time. So it's many students, all the years they change. They have
Of
to,
course.
all of them, they have to try them and wear them and do some scenes. So it's a lot of people using them. And after 20 years, he came back and he brought back only one, asking us if we can repair it a bit.
Wow.
But he said that all the others are fine,
Wow.
and so it was a good news for us.
Absolutely. I mean, good advertising.
Yeah.
wow, mamma mia. That's good. Listen, I'm the daughter of my dad is an art well, he's an artist. He's not working much now, but he's an artist. And I remember he used to make masks as a hobby. So I know
Oh.
how long, yeah, as a hobby. Don't worry, it's not at the level
Oh,
of your level, but as an hobby he did it. So I know because I saw him do it, how long it can take. But obviously they were very
no.
simple masks. How long? I mean, you have some amazing works of art because they are works of art. I'm sorry, they're not just oh, because they're artisans, artisanship. They are works of art. How long can it take to make a very complicated big mask? Not the simple one, the very elaborate one. I mean, are we talking
Yeah,
about
it's
weeks?
a long time, and even for smaller ones, then for sure we don't do everyone by the beginning to the end, like one at a time. We try to work by steps,
Of course.
otherwise we would really do 50 masks in a
Yeah,
year.
exactly. And I don't think you will be surviving in Venice.
So yeah, there are many steps. So we try to do step number one for around 15, 20, and then when we have them all, we start with step number two. But imagine we did only one at a time, which sometimes we do when we have a particular
Yeah,
order or
that's what I'm saying.
commission.
Maybe a very particular, complicated one, one
Yeah, well,
illustration.
it could take more than a week, considering,
Wow.
of course,
Of
drying
course.
times, which are quite long in Venice, considering the
Yeah, the
humidity.
humidity.
So yeah,
Yeah.
we're not working nonstop for 1 week. There are also some days in which we just leave it there to dry or to rest.
Wow.
But yes, because
Okay.
it's not just the papier-mâché. First, you have to do a clay sculpture to create a new model.
Of
Then you
course.
have the plaster process in order to do the negative mold.
Yeah.
And only when you have the negative mold, you can start working the paper inside of it. But when you have the paper, you're not done. You have to cut the eyes, the nostrils, so
Of
let's say
course.
the windows of the mask. And then there are all the processes of to, let's say, to smooth it, to use stucco to level up imperfections, and then the Bologna plaster to make it white and ready to be painted, because otherwise paper wouldn't be
Of course,
suitable for to
yeah,
have painter
absorbs,
just straight
yeah, of
away.
course. How did you, I mean, was it obvious that you were gonna go and work in your dad's shop, or did he have to convince you?
No, it was not obvious at all.
That's what I'm asking, because that doesn't mean that you're son of an artist, you automatically become an artist. I'm the
No,
proof,
even because
living proof.
I question myself all the time still. But no, I also went to study abroad and
Okay.
started working in an art gallery in Milan afterwards.
Okay. So you did the arts school, you did the liceo artistico, or not?
No, I
Oh, okay. So,
didn't. I followed some courses at the academy afterwards, but I studied international relations actually.
oh my God. Okay, totally different. Ah, okay, you definitely weren't going back into your dad's business, and that is so interesting. I like this. Okay, so you managed to go abroad, and then.
And then yeah, I was working in Milan, and at a certain point I felt like I was out of my place. And I feel a very strong connection to the place I was born, to Venice. And I miss that. And I miss the, how could you say, the cultural heritage that this work represents for this place. So at a certain point I decided to come back.
It's interesting because isn't it funny how, I mean, I came back to Venice after many, many years living abroad, and it's exactly the same thing. I couldn't wait to leave. I just was, I don't know, I need to see the world. I need to go and live abroad. And I did. But then when I came back, I realized how important it was, how important Venice was. And it's really funny because I never realized how important it was when I was going to school in Venice and when I was a young girl, whatever. It was like, oh, okay, yeah. You just kind of take it for granted. And then it's when you
Yes.
come back, you realize, wow, the cultural baggage of his city is mind blowing, mind blowing. Listen, let's talk about some of the famous people that walk through the doors of Tragicomica. Can we name names? Some of the
It's
names?
a harbor, this place.
I know. I mean, I went on your website and I was like, oh my God. So the list is immense. Go on, you start.
So yeah, I think we could do a few. We could give a few names. Well, we did the mask for Lady Gaga's video Poker Face, the
Wow.
one made with mirrors that she throws into the water,
Oh,
which is
wow.
quite meaningful for us as well.
Did you get to go on the set or not?
No,
Nah,
actually was
Dan.
commissioned by
Dan.
an architect she was working for. Yeah, I mean,
Dan.
he was working for her.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, but someone who stepped in, it was the Brangelinas, so Brad Pitt and Angelina
When
Jolie
they were
were
here
kids,
filming, yeah, when she was
the
filming, yes.
tourist. Yeah,
Yeah.
and also
With kids in
Ben
tows,
Stiller
with
with
all the
his
kids,
family,
with all the kids.
with all the
Oh.
kids.
Oh.
And Ben Stiller as well, and they came here to our workshop because they did the activity of mask making workshop
Yeah, I
that
know, because
we that
that's the thing that I wanted to talk about, because you do these experiences. So listen, guys, out there, if
yes.
anybody wants to do a mask making experience, remember, Brad and Angelina and Ben Stiller did it, so you can as well. So what kind of experiences do you offer then?
It's nice because it's a way for us to open the doors of our workshop, which is the place where we actually work and we make all the creations you see at the shop. It's a way to open the doors not just of the workshop but also of our work. So to share what we do with people with different backgrounds and origins and interests. So people they can come here, pick a mask. According to their taste, their inner spirit, and then decorate it their own way. So create the really a unique mask in the world, and we follow them in the decoration process with the base colors, with the relief colors, and then with all the embroideries, jewels, applicables, feathers, and it's a way to also leave Venice through an experimental through experiences, to really get into the original places, get to know the people, and to get to know a job which is very ancient in this city.
Also, because you get to explain to people about the carnival and everything. Oh, one thing we forgot about to talk about it. It's that obviously we were saying the carnival was stopped in the 1800s, but before that, obviously the mask making was in the hands of a guild, right? Am I
Yeah.
saying, yeah, okay. Can we talk about that? Because I
Yes.
always forget. I think it's all because in the episode before this, I was talking actually to somebody. We were talking about the artisans of Venice and the made in Venice and the importance of the made in Venice. And I'm actually in the middle of writing a book about the artisans of Venice. So I really like to talk about this part because I think it's something that is not stressed enough, I think, when people talk about Venice, about the importance of the guilds in the city, of each guild. So since I'm talking to an artisan, I like to talk about the guilds of the masks and what they were called and what they did, if it's possible.
Yes, actually, from what we know from the sources, there wasn't a specific guild for mask makers, unfortunately. They were part of the Guild of Painters. So it was a category of that scuola, but there is from the 14th century, if I'm not mistaken, a Mariegola, which was the I don't know if you've talked about that
Yes, we
in
explained
previous.
what it was. It was a set of rules for each guild.
Yes, so let's say they did their own Mariegola, so let's say a statute for mask makers inside the Guild of Painters, which was the La Scuola di San Luca, which is now in Strada Nuova. There is a bar now there,
Ah,
but
because
you
I was
still in.
thinking, Scuola di San Luca, where is that? That's also
Yeah,
wondering.
it doesn't exist anymore. It's just the building, but you can still see the
Which
how do you
about in
say the marble,
where about in
the
Strada Nova? Which
Santa Sofia where the gondola is.
Of course. Yes. Ah, interesting. Where there is a mask shop, because there is a mask shop there.
Yeah, no, there's
I'm
a
talking about
bar
it's a
now.
Chinese one. I'm not, it's not proper one. It's as you know, I was joking. It's like a souvenir kind of shop. That would be
Yeah.
interesting. Okay, so they had their own, they had this statue. And what does he? What rules do you remember? Do you remember the rules that he says on the Mariagola or not? Some of the rules.
No, I couldn't
No,
say
okay.
that.
No, it's okay. I was just curious, just curious. But I really think it's so important for us to talk about this part because, in a way, it's what gave birth to the artisans of today. Because, obviously, you don't have the rules anymore like in the old days, but it's still kind of nice to know about this how important the artisans were for the city of Venice. Listen, what's the in the future for Tragicomica? Which other famous people are you gonna work with, or is there any other kind of I don't know, some materials that you haven't used that you would like to try to use, or something like that?
Oh, so new experiments are always in the making. I think in the future, what we pose, oh yeah, well, is to spread, I would think, the idea of a mask, of the mask, not just as the tool you wear on the face, but as an anthropological, psychological instrument. Which is many times being overlooked at. We try to do that when we organize some historical seminars, let's say. So not just the mask making workshops, but we also organize classes on the history of masks in Venice and the history of carnival in the city. And by, for example, organizing an exhibition with artworks by my father Gualtiero that we did at the Museo Casa di Carlo Goldoni indeed last year for the Venetian museums, in which yeah it has less to do with traditional masks but with the concept of mask with the capital M, I would say. And so to go deeper into the meaning of what a mask is, many people regard the mask as something fake because being to have a mask, it means not to be truthful, it's to say something wrong, to tell lies. Whereas the significance of masks in Venice, at least, but not only that, is actually to give a truth. As Oscar Wilde said, give me a mask and I will say a truth.
Yeah,
And I will
because
give a truth to you.
you drop all of every all the fronts and you just true to yourself. Behind a mask, you can just tell anything. So it's true.
Yeah.
Listen, am I wrong in, I mean, maybe I'm just saying the biggest ever mistake on my podcast, but there isn't a mask making, sorry, a mask museum in Venice, is there? We
No,
don't
there is
have
not.
one, isn't it? Isn't it funny? We got a museum for lace, we got a museum for the Renaissance, we got a museum for whatever art, we got a museum for glass. We don't have one for masks. Maybe that's what your dad should start working on, starting a museum.
Yeah, I don't want to get in much into that because I know there have been some talks and processes, but
Oh,
we
it came to me
haven't.
as we were talking. Okay, I swear to God, I just literally thought it as I was talking to you now. Okay, so I will not get into that. I will ask to your dad personally next time I see him, just in case.
Yeah,
Otherwise,
not just because it's a personal thing, but you know, also it's not something just for us. It regards more actors in
of
the
course,
city.
of course, of course. But that will be interesting. Okay, because I definitely
But
think you.
it is. I'm happy that many times people enter in our shop and they tell us it's like a museum, and
Oh, by
I'm
yours,
glad for
definitely.
that. But I understand it's not a museum, so it's true that it's something that not just us should make in our agenda, because of yeah,
Yeah,
there are other mask makers.
Yeah.
What people sometimes don't immediately see is that of course we're not the only one, but we still are very few. It's
Yes.
very little the numbers of mask makers
I
that
know.
still create masks
Of
in
course.
Venice in the traditional process.
Of course. Oh, let's make this clear. Sorry. How, and I know if people walk into your shop, obviously they know it's all handmade, but how can people understand? Because I know how to understand if it's true or not, but let's give a hint. to the listener, how can they understand if a mask is handmade or not?
Well, for sure, the shop, if it's, just how do you say, bancarella,
Oh, Lido
if it's like
stand. Lido
little
stand,
stands
whatever.
in the street, it's never authentic, and but you can clearly see it's imported plastic. I would probably say that the most important thing is the reputation of the place. So look also online the name of the workshop from where the mask is, and you can, because the historical ones, they have indeed a history behind,
And generally,
and
you
you
walk
can.
in and you see the people one way or another. You have a smelly when you walk in because you smell all the paint and stuff, or you can actually see the person if it's a small place, generally.
Yes, and if it's not enough, I think, yeah, an online research on the name and the history, it helps. And I don't get much into it, but also look on behind the mask, not just focus on
Front.
the front part, but look behind.
And tell me if I'm wrong, okay? I just tell me, Monica, shut up, you're wrong. Another two
No.
things I will look for. Number
Yeah.
one, price. I always
Yes,
say,
price.
if it's cheap,
Yeah.
it ain't made by hand. There's just no way it's made by hand. And another thing,
Yeah.
if there are two models that are, let's say, the same model, to put them next to each other, they shouldn't be totally identical. They should be very different, even though it's the same model, because if it's unmade, it cannot be identical, correct?
True. Yeah,
That is
per
true for all handmade stuff, really. So
you
even
said
with
it
masks.
perfectly.
Okay, good. Well, I'm always worried, see, as I repeat, I have great esteem, great respect for artisans. So I always want to try to say the correct things, Toby, it was so nice talking to you. I mean, you are a wealth of information. Thank you. I'm so happy because I wanted to ask you a thing about Carnival. You told me even more than what I was going to ask you. So thank you so much. And
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
where can people find you on internet?
On the internet, well, you can find us in our socials. It's Tragicomica underscore Venezia for Instagram. Facebook, it's Tragicomica Venezia, or in our website, which is www.tragicomica.it.
Oh, dot IT. Okay. I was sure it would have been dot com. Okay, dot IT. Okay.
See.
Tobia, oh, yeah, by the way, talking about your
And
next project, I got a project with your dad. I decided I have been looking for years for somebody that will do me a mask so I can wear it with my glasses because I cannot walk without my glasses.
right. Yes.
Any
We
second.
have a few models, but if you want one specifically, then
He
we
just
can
told me,
make a new one
yeah.
just for you.
He did. And he said to me, as long as you don't come at Carnival, I said, of course, I would never do that. But I'm so happy because
Right.
somebody else told me it cannot be done. So I was so happy when your dad said to me, everything can be done. I love this attitude. I really love his attitude. For that's it. Next year, definitely having my own mask. So for the people out there like me that has the same problem that you need a mask with glasses, you go here to Tragicomica because they can do it. And I'm telling you now, they would be thousands of people writing now.
Yeah. Yeah,
Tobias.
because of course the other place where to find us is physically to us. So in case anyone wants to visit us, please come and pay us a visit and tell us you listen to us in your podcast, and we'll be more than happy to have another chat.
Also, because your place is simply amazing. It's not hard to find because you're right by Casa Goldoni, but it is an amazing shop. Thank you again, Tobia, and I'll let you go back to your work and say hi to your dad. And I hope to see you soon and pop by and say hello and getting my mask ready.
Yes, thank you
Okay.
very much, Monica. Thank
Grazie.
you.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, bye bye. Bye, everyone.
A big thank you to Tobia for the lovely chat. You can find Tobia and his dad at www.tragicomica.it and on all social medias as Tragicomica. Thank you again for listening. Venice Talks Podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created, produced, and hosted by me, Monica Cesarato. Follow Venice Talks wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to book a food tour or a cooking experience with me, you can find me over at www.monicacesarato.com and on all social medias with the handle at Monica Cesarato, where you can follow my adventures around Venice. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate it and leave a review. It's very much appreciated.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.